chapter 10, text 38.
Danda.
Danda.
Damayatam.
Damayatam.
Asmi.
Asmi.
Nitihi.
Nitihi.
Asmi.
Asmi.
Jigishatam.
Jigishatam.
Maunam.
Maunam.
Cha.
Cha.
Eva.
Eva.
Asmi.
Asmi.
Duhyanam.
Duhyanam.
Gyanam.
Gyanam.
Gyanavatam.
Gyanavatam.
Aham. Translation: among all means of suppressing lawlessness, among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And of those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence, and of the wise, I am the wisdom. Purport: there are many suppressing agents, of which the most important are those that cut down miscreants. When miscreants are punished, the agency of chastisement represents Krishna. Among those who are trying to be victorious in some field of activity, the most victorious element is morality. Among the confidential activities of hearing, thinking and meditating, silence is most important, because by silence one can make progress very quickly. The wise man is he who can discriminate between matter and spirit, between God's superior and inferior natures. Such knowledge is Krishna himself. Lord Krishna is continuing to describe some of the vibhutis, or the opulences within this material world, which represent him. Arjuna asked Krishna that, how can I recognize you within this world? And Krishna is answering by giving a list of many outstanding factors in various fields. This verse, or these verses in this chapter, in the Anushtup Chanda, are quite suitable for each line in the this particular meter. Is very suitable for that. In each pada or line, there is one item mentioned. So in most of the verses, we have four items mentioned, in this one also. In these four verses, first of all, it is mentioned that for suppressing or controlling others, the ultimate means is punishment, force. There are various means by which a ruler may attempt to rule others, but unless there's some force behind it, then people won't care. The police, if we see the police, they tell us to do something. We do that not because we love the police, but because we're afraid if we don't do what they say, they will punish us. They have the ability to punish us, if not directly, personally. The force of the law is behind them. So they can arrest us and put us through the judicial process by which we'll eventually be punished. And if we don't comply, with the police orders, then we'll be punished even more. There was, from time to time in the Western countries, there have been police going on strike. And when that happens, then all chaos breaks loose. And gangs come and they loot all the shops. Or in New Orleans, when there was floods and there was a breakdown of law and order, the police, they couldn't do anything. The people were just looting. So this suggests that the average, maybe not the average citizen, but a certain section of the population, unless there's the threat of force that you will be punished, that they would engage in all kinds of antisocial activities. So force is required. Force, another way of saying, is violence. And if you don't do what we say, then we will punish you physically. There are so many ways. Danda literally means a stick. So if you don't get, if you don't do what we say, we'll beat you with a stick. Or there are so many other ways of punishment. You could be thrown in prison, beaten up, capital punishment. There are various methods of capital punishment. In this country, the system, it's not used very often. Only in the rarest of the rare cases is hanging. There are so many other methods, but one Frenchman called Monsieur Guillotine, he invented the guillotine for chopping people's heads off very quickly and effectively. Shooting, there are various methods of punishment. So that is required. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is required in society unless everyone is a Paramahamsa, which is not there except in Satya Yoga. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that when King Vena died. No, not King Vena. His father, whose name was... Anyone? I'm not remembering now. That the thieves, when they realized there was no king to punish, then the thieves became immediately very active. So the ruler, whether the king or the president or whatever, there has to be the threat of force. Otherwise, the rogues will take advantage. There is a doctrine preached by some that ahimsa, we should have absolute non-violence. But this is not practical in human society unless, as I was just saying, everyone is a Paramahamsa. Because the nature of this material world is that everyone wants to exploit everyone else. The nature of the spiritual world is that everyone wants to serve Krishna. And in this material world, everyone is exploiting everyone. The tendency is to exploit others. And in the next line we have Nitir, Asmi, Jigishatam, Nitir, morality. Now, morality in human society, the atheistic morality or the secularist morality, is a pact or an understanding between various people that we shall act well towards each other, so that we can mutually further our aim of sense gratification. At the present time, in the Western world, there's a prominent debate among political leaders and the people in general of abolition of capital punishment. There should be no capital punishment. We should not kill anyone for any crime. These rascals, every day they're without any trial, they're giving capital punishment or death sentence to literally millions of animals. Literally, every day, if you include the chickens, poor chickens, if we drive anywhere in Andhra Pradesh, we'll see so many Satyagiri hatcheries, Venkateshwa poultry farm. It's probably, the poultry farm is probably going on with a loan taken from the hundi from Srinivas, because that's what they do with your money, which you put in the hundi. It's supposed to be for Srinivas seva, but instead it's for torturing throughout the life all the chickens and then killing them. That's a poultry farm. Andhra Pradesh, as those who live here know, it's full of... Why Andhra Pradesh? The whole of India. That bird disease came out and they were reporting that daily they were killing... They had to kill lakhs of chickens. But they'd be killed anyway. If it wasn't for the bird disease, they'd be killed anyway. So they want to stop killing of humans and go on with killing of animals, birds, and so on. There was just Christmas Day, which in the Western countries is a big celebration. And people think it's a very good time of year. It's a very bad time for the turkey. What is a turkey? It's a like a big chicken. In Slovenia, they eat turkeys on Christmas Day. Not much. In America, especially. It's like a chicken, but it's this big. Oversized chicken. So, it's a bad day for turkeys, because people, they speak of peace and goodwill, and they slaughter millions of animals. So, according to Vedic injunction, the protection should be there for all living beings. Ahimsa, that is a principle that is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, and that is qualified in Srimad Bhagavatam. Qualified means, in this sense, it means modified, because there cannot be complete ahimsa. As I was saying, that if the government passed a law that we agree with Mahatma Gandhi, we have decided to follow Mahatma Gandhi, and we have decided that in this country there will be no more himsa. If anyone attacks, we won't respond, and we'll disband the army and the air force and the navy and the police. And Pakistan will say, very good, we'll stop fighting with each other and we'll take over India immediately. That's what will happen, isn't it? Because they won't agree to that. It's practically the army is required for Pakistan on one side and China on the other. Well, we're not supposed to be talking politics here, but actually this is practical. Niti, here the word is translated as morality. But that's also understood to mean politics. So this is practical. Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He is speaking practically. It's not, we may think that it's a metaphysical discussion and it's just time passed, as they say. It's going to be a battle and it's... The auspicious time hasn't quite come for beginning, so time passed. Let's have some philosophy discussion before we butcher each other on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It wasn't like that. It was a metaphysical discussion, but metaphysical, practical application. The practical matter was that Arjuna, he didn't want to fight, and Krishna wanted him to fight. And Krishna had Arjuna had very good reasons not to fight, but Krishna had even better reasons that you should fight. Metaphysical, spiritual reasons. We may think it's very spiritual to be non-violent, but Krishna was giving Arjuna transcendental reasons to be violent, to kill others. to go out with your arrows and with your arrows remove people's heads from their bodies, their legs from their bodies, have literally rivers of blood. Krishna told Arjuna the transcendental reason for doing this. And mentioning the name of Mahatma Gandhi on the so-called Gandhi Jayanti. I say so-called because Jayanti is actually a term meant for Krishna, not for Mohandas Gandhi. He's not Mohan, he's Mohandas. That's his name. So they pay lip service to him. They'll have a celebration. But no one can imagine to follow his policy because it's impractical. It doesn't have any practical application in the world. So, punishment, that is required. The citizen should be protected. That is the duty of the kshatriya. Kshatriya means who protects from unnecessary hurt, from unnecessary pain. So the kshatriya, or the ruler of the society, his duty is to protect not only the human beings, but the animals and even the trees, and even every living being. They require protection. So to do that, to protect other, Srimad Bhagavatam, I was saying, Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't say ahimsa, but naati himsa. Naati himsa means naati himsa. Not excessive or not unnecessary. To avoid any form of himsa altogether, it's not possible. The Jains, they have this idea that we should not have any himsa whatsoever. And for this reason, they don't eat potatoes or anything which grows underground. Because they think if you have to pull it out of the ground and then you might kill some earthworms, or some of them they sweep the street in front of them so they don't walk on any ants, but they might kill an ant while they're sweeping. That's also possible. I met one Jain, young man from Bombay, in Lithuania. The capital of Lithuania is Vilnius. So he spoke to me and he said, yeah, we're better vegetarian than you because we don't take anything from underground. This is in the airport. We're going on the plane. So how is the plane flying? They put kerosene or something, I don't know, some kind, something made, something extracted from oil. And where does the oil come from? Underground. Under the sea, quite possibly. They kill so many fish in their oil exploration, especially when there's an oil spill and then so many fish die. So, excessive violence is to be given up. But some violence is necessary. Here is the mural of Parashuram. He's worshipped for killing. Sometimes I met a Christian on a train once. And he was accusing that your God is killing, our God is the God of peace. But everyone's dying, then how? They're all dying under the laws of karma. This material world is going on. Ultimately, Grasishnu Prabhavishnucha. Krishna is swallowing up everyone and brings them forth again. Apart from that, I mean, thou shalt not kill. The Bible commandment is probably the history of Christianity is probably said, it's just one of killing. Killing. Catholics killing Protestants killing Catholics killing Catholics, Christians killing Muslims. Just a history and killing animals, left, right, and all over there. It's just the whole history of what is one of killing. So, nāti hiṃsraṁ, there should not be excessive violence, should be curbed by the kshatriya who is willing to apply violence to those who do not apply violence according to the rules of dharma. There is dharmic hiṃsa. Hiṃsa, that means violence, or it means that is connected with dvesha, or bad feeling. So Lord Krishna, he explains in Bhagavad Gita that advesha sarva bhutanam. One should not have bad feelings towards others. One should not hate others. Anyone, any living being. But some hiṃsa is required to punish those who are unnecessarily violent. That is the nature of this world, that others are, every being in this world is, comes into this world out of dvesha. That is described in Bhagavad Gita. Iccha dvesha samuthena. Everyone is born in this world with material desires and envy towards others. So the kshatriya, or the noble, the dharmic king, he applies violence to stop the excessive violence of those who would be violent unnecessarily, to further their ends of exploitation, or sometimes just out of fun. Some people are so in such low consciousness that just for, out of a perverted sense of pleasure, they give pain to others. They like to see others suffering. So the kshatriya, he is violent, or prepared to be violent, to stop unnecessary violence. And that is considered dharmic. Such violence is much better than the cowardly allowing of adharma in the name of liberality. Allowing animal slaughter, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex in the name of liberality is a form of cowardice. Those who are leaders of the country, they should know what are the laws of karma and apply them in human society. So, this is described, Nitya Asmi Jigi Shatam. Those who seek victory, they should not simply learn how to use a sword, use arrows, or in the modern age, use weapons. In the modern age, where's the chivalry in fighting? Do you know what chivalry means? I guess you could say virata. Where is the heroism in fighting? A man in California goes and sits on a computer and presses a few buttons, and in Iraq some missiles go off. That's fighting in the modern age. It's not fighting. It's a job for this is a Shudra's job. Working a computer, although we think it's a very elevated job, but it's actually a Shudra's job. Technology is for the Shudras. So this what is required for victory, morality. That ultimately, victory is with those who follow Dharma. It may not seem true in Kali Yuga, especially. Many people ask, how is it that we see many people who are good, they're suffering in so many ways, and those who are bad, they're flourishing? Why is that? Well, that's due to the influence of Kali Yuga, that when in Kali Yuga the lower modes of nature are prominent. And therefore persons in the lower modes, in Tamogun and Rajogun, they appear to flourish, but they don't flourish for long. The chicken killer becomes a chicken and is killed. Those who by sinful methods become prominent, they have to suffer. For a short time they may appear to enjoy, they're also not enjoying. The persons who make so much money, black money, they can't use it. All they can do is be in anxiety about it. There's a huge golden temple near Vellore in North Tamil Nadu, which it is said that it's built from politicians' number two fund. They can't use, they get so much black money, but they can't use it. So they persuade some rascal to pose as a god or a sadhu. They build some big temple and they get some percentage back. But they can't, they get so much money, but they can't use it. So that money only brings them anxiety. And they have to suffer sinful reactions in future. So ultimately, yatra yogeshwara Krishna, yatra partha dhanadharaha, tatra shriya vijayo bhuti dhruva niti matirmam. Ultimately, victory will go to Krishna. Not only victory, everything, all auspicious, where there is Krishna and Arjuna, where there is Krishna and his devotee, then there will be, certainly, there will be victory, morality, opulence. Ultimately, Krishna's devotees, they prosper in the ultimate sense. The Pandavas, they were suffering, it appeared, for so many years, 13 years. But ultimately they triumphed. And the ultimate triumph is not to become a king or to have lots of money, but the ultimate victory is to conquer over birth and death. So in this sense, Krishna's devotees, they're always victorious. And the non-devotees, they're always failures. In India, these two words are very important. For the young people going to college, they want to be a success. Don't be a failure. And success means you get high marks, and then you, in your exam, then you get a job for some beef eater in some multinational corporation, and you earn lots of money, and you become a demon and eat lots of meat and drink lots of wine and have lots of illicit sex and smoke and go to hell. So this is a failure. They think they've become a success, but they are a failure because they've spoiled their human life by becoming a demon. But those who take to Krishna consciousness, they may not appear to be materially very prosperous, although this temple is prosperous. There's a big palace. Even the politicians, they don't have such a nice place to live in, even with all their black money. But we're living here, but as servants. Devotee lives, he may live in opulence, or he may live in a mud pile in Salem. We have the temple there. It's just mud at the moment. This was mud at one point also. It was a building site up until recently. But whatever, suke, duke, samekrit. Devotees go on with their duty in material opulence or non-opulence, whatever. Their motive is to serve Krishna in any circumstance. And they don't deviate from that. They don't think, I'm just doing this, I'm working and doing some service in this temple. I could have been a computer engineer, I could have been a big demon like all my friends at school. And they don't think like that because they know that those who serve Krishna, they are ultimately successful in the fullest success, fullest sense, that success doesn't mean to get lots of money, lots of anxiety, and get ulcers and heart attacks and earn money, spend it, and then go to Apollo Hospital and spend all the money that you earned. That is not success. Success means to conquer over birth and death. Krishna is explaining this to Arjuna. So, monam chayavasmi guhyanam. Among the secrets, silence. So, monam, that is a well-known process. There are so many processes of sadhana, or methods of spiritual elevation. So there are religious processes. So monam is one. Monam, dhyanam, japam, homam, tirthayatram. Most people coming here, they're in tirthayatra. But these are various methods. Devotees, they observe monam by speaking about Krishna. That is the best moment. It means not complete silence, but silent in the sense not to speak about any topics which are not connected with Krishna. That is best monam. Monam is recommended for the Mayavadis, or those who say that everything is one. So you believe that? So kindly sit in the corner, don't say anything, and shut up and don't talk nonsense. That's good for you. You think everything is one? That's rubbish. It's not true. Because Krishna is supreme and we are his servants. And we will proclaim this very loudly everywhere. That is monam. And those who say everything is all one, then what have you got to talk about? Then don't talk. There's nothing to talk about. Because if you talk, the very act of speaking means there is a speaker and a hearer. Of course, these foolish people, they say that the speaker, the hearer, the sound, the seer, the seen and the seeing, it all becomes one. How is not possible, but they say like that. So, ultimately everything in this world is meaningless, according to them. So if everything is meaningless, then don't say anything. What you say is meaningless also, so don't speak. Just keep quiet. And we shall speak loudly everywhere. Krishna stu bhagavan swayam. This is the best form of silence. Here, guhyanam. What is secret? What is not to be revealed? traditionally the Brahmanas, they will not reveal. The Vedic knowledge is only to be spoken to those who are dvija, those who are twice born. The Vedic knowledge is not to be spoken to the Shudras. Why is that? Shudra means shochati iti shudra, those who are simply on the platform of lamenting. And along with lamenting comes, as Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, na shochati na kangshati, one who is not a shudra, one who is Brahma Bhuta, who is on the spiritual platform, has neither hankering nor lamentation. But those who are on the mundane platform, for them to hear the Vedic knowledge means they will misconstrue it, as is very much prominent in the modern age. How they misuse this, it's become very prominent that various rascals, they promote themselves as God, just like very well known here in Tirupati, is Sri Venkatesh Subrabhata. Everyone, you hear it every day, I suppose, here. So there are various rascals who have the whole song they'll sing, but instead of saying, what is that last line? Sri Venkatachalapate Tapasubha. Yeah. So instead of Venkatachalapate, they put their own name. Rascals, demons. That proves there's no Kshatriya in this country, that they allow this to go on. So there used to be one very prominent rascal in Andhra Pradesh who had this, but now there are so many people claiming themselves to be God. There's this Baba's got a lot of competition these days. So many. So they're misusing the Vedic knowledge. So it should not be spoken to the rascal people who will misuse that. So that was the reason. It was that knowledge is powerful. Should be given. That's why the Vedic knowledge is given to qualified people. It's not meant for everyone. Of course, the ultimate knowledge that we are all servants of Krishna, that should be given to everyone. But persons who are inimical to it, they should not be instructed. Then the last line, Jnanam Jnanavatam Aham. Of the wise I am wisdom. That knowledge, Jnanam, this is the whole subject of Bhagavad Gita. It's a book of knowledge. So this term, of course, comes up in Bhagavad Gita again and again. Who has got knowledge? That person is most elevated in human society. Human life is meant for acquiring knowledge. Srila Prabhupada points out the wise man, the jnani, is he who can discriminate between matter and spirit and between God's superior and inferior natures. This is knowledge. Knowledge may be defined in various ways. Lord Krishna himself defines it in somewhat different ways. In the Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam Teham Sati Jnanam Idam Vakshami Asheshataha. I will explain that knowledge and wisdom by knowing which there will be nothing more to be known. So, what is the terms Prabhupada uses? Numinous and phenomenal, spiritual and material knowledge. So knowledge is in there. There are so many fields of knowledge. There are so many sciences. So many. And in the universities we'll find specialists, super specialists. So many fields of knowledge. But ultimate knowledge, the actually important knowledge, is to discriminate between matter and spirit. Most people have no idea. That's why they can be cheated so easily. How is it that anyone with some promotion, they can be accepted as God? This is very common in modern Hinduism. That so many people are claiming to be God, or their followers claim them to be God. How is it possible? Because people have no knowledge. They have not even basic knowledge of Shastra. So therefore, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for Janma Sata Koro Poro Upaka. The members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness endeavor to make their lives perfect by following Bhagavad Gita as it is, and to help others to come out of the darkness of ignorance. Tamasi ma jyotir gamay. Come out of the darkness. Come to the light of knowledge. That knowledge, the basic knowledge, is given in Bhagavad Gita, if it is presented as it is. So, as I was saying at this temple, at its opening, it is meant for, this temple is not meant just for darshan in the ordinary sense. Most people think that darshan means I came and I looked and I saw the statue. But when we get Bhagavad darshan, when we are presented with the message of Godhead, then we can understand that pratima naha tumi sakshat vrajendranandam, that this deity is not a statue, but directly the personality of Godhead. And we are to come, for darshan means we shall present ourselves to Him, that He is the seer, He shall see us. So this temple is meant for preaching Bhagavad darshan, for preaching Bhagavad Gita as it is. That this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, this is non-different from Krishna. So that's these four topics, briefly, which all represent Krishna. Krishna is the... Among methods of control or suppression, Krishna is physical punishment. Of those who seek victory, Krishna is morality. Silence is the, among secret things, Krishna is silence, and of the wise, He is wisdom. Is there any question about this, please?
What do you think in Shastra is said that...
What do I think? What do I think? It doesn't matter. What does Shastra say?
Shastra is explaining that capital punishment is allowed.
Not only is capital punishment allowed, but it is mandatory. In some countries, Singapore is one, I believe Malaysia is another, there is mandatory, Saudi Arabia, mandatory capital punishment. If one is found guilty of having narcotics, more than a certain amount, that means more than using, means you're selling. If you're caught, you're found guilty, then the judge has no choice but to sentence you to death. There's no other punishment. So like that, in Shastra, it is capital punishment. It's not allowed, but it should be for certain persons.
My question is, in the modern age, there is no proper ruler.
In the modern age, there's no proper ruler. So throw out all of Shastra and finish. Then we shouldn't follow anything. There's no proper cows either. Does that mean we should kill them all? They're all mixed up. There's hardly any. There's no desi guy. They're all mixed up. Here too. They're all mixed up with Western cows. So that means we should kill them?
I was thinking,
the situation isn't ideal, therefore Shastra shouldn't be followed.
I was thinking maybe they might misuse.
They might misuse, that's true. The Shastra can be misused, that's true. So that doesn't mean that we stop applying Shastra, but we start to apply it properly. It isn't that the rules of Shastra should be, we don't follow them anymore. But yes, we should follow, and we should follow them properly. But qualified people are required. Therefore, Prabhupada said that he wanted to make a class of Brahmins first. Kshatriyas work under Brahmins. So, there's a long way to go before there's a real Kshatriyan society who's going to stop all these poultry farms and all these bogus Bhagavans. There's so many things. We've got a lot of books. We have to distribute many books. That will have its effect in course of time. But at the present time, our movement is just seen as another Hindu movement. That's how it's people see it. And our devotees also present it like that. We've jumped into the box. They want to put us in a box. Okay, we think Hare Krishna is very good, but you just stay in this box. It's called Hinduism. So you stay in that box. And then we'll give you our blessings. We'll go on with our rascaldom, and you sit in your box, and whatever you do, you do, but don't bother us, and we won't bother you. So we're sitting in the Hindu box, being good Hindus, but Krishna consciousness is not any there's no mundane designation for that. It is meant for the re-spiritualization of the entire world.
In the third chapter, Krishna says that Prakritam Kriyamanani. He says that actions are performed by the tribunals of material nature. And in the 18th chapter, Krishna says that there are five factors of action. Like soul.
One of them is the karta. So it's got nothing to do with the class, this question.
You said that,
Yeah, you have to try to write it.
Is that we can discriminate between matter and spirit?
Matter and spirit. Well, this... In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, one who thinks I am the doer is bewildered because the three modes of material nature are doing. Whereas elsewhere, one of the five factors of action is the karta. the doer. So yeah, the jiva is the karta, he is the doer, that's true. But one who thinks he's an independent doer, not understanding that the influence of the three modes of nature, then he's a fool. This is what Krishna is stating. If there was no independent volition, if it was only the three modes, then we'd just be a cartoon. That's all. If there was no independence for the jiva to act, then it would just, like that, you'd be a cartoon figure. I suppose there's some philosophers who say like that. We're like figures in a cartoon. But we're not. Otherwise, why would Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? If he has to choose how to act. Independence is there, but minute independence, that's the point. Hare Krishna.